There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are. You know, we try to give you good information every time we broadcast, and I want to say welcome. It's kind of interesting, and it's also kind of exciting for Jim and myself, because we're in the studio here at the ranch, at the home place, and it's just 1 minute after 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time, but it is a Tuesday evening. It is actually Tuesday, the 14th of August, 2012. If you've missed the last couple of weeks' shows, and you're going to be logging on wondering why we broadcast a day early, well, we've actually talked about this for a couple of weeks now, and Jim decided he wanted to do the show on Tuesday nights. It still starts at 8 o'clock, but we are going to be doing a live broadcast of the Abiding Presence every Tuesday night. I wanted to start off with the show with that, just to make sure if someone out there has not got the news yet, they would have known about it. Okay, let's get down to the business of grace. Now, the interesting thing is all over Scripture, it talks about repent, about think about what you're thinking about what you're doing, think about what you're saying. All of your sins, all sins are forgiven. Ask and you shall receive. We've talked about this many, many times over the history of the Abiding Presence radio show, that repent does not mean feel guilty or feel sad. It means change. Like if you're supposed to go right and you're going left, you say, no, repent, repent. Go to the right. Or hopefully you change your socks. You repent your socks every day. You repent your mind and you don't want pie. You want ice cream for dessert. So you repented from pie to ice cream. You get the point. Now, why is it so difficult to enjoy grace? Why is it so difficult to feel it, to touch it, to have it as tangible as wearing a sweater on a cool autumn morning? Something that protects you, that you feel warm, and you can just wrap yourself in it. Because that's what grace is. That's what grace does. If you're praying, or you think you're praying, and you're not getting results, why is that? As Scripture says, and as Jim has said many times on this radio show, it cannot be the devil or negative energy or something from below. It can't be something of perdition. Why? Because the devil has been defeated. He has no power. The only power that negative energy has, that hell has, that Satan has, is when you even acknowledge their presence in your life. Well, then it bears the question, what is in my way? Why is not my prayer answered? If all sins are forgiven, ask and you shall receive, and everybody is equal in the eyes of God, Well, then obviously there are some decisions to be made, some choices that are in front of you that possibly you're not even aware that in your day-to-day life on this planet as a flesh person with a spirit inside of you that you cross, and there are many intersections and many crossroads, hundreds of day, isn't there, Jim?
Yeah, this is a really good opening, BJ. It's very possible for people that hundreds of times a day you have intersections that it's very possible that you're not even aware of. So to really get down to some of these thoughts, we're going to have a great show tonight, and I'm going to start out with a scripture that Jesus talked about over in John chapter 3, and it really is one of the pillars of truth that we all need to understand. And Jesus was answering some questions with Nicodemus. We've talked about this before, and we're not going to try to wear it out, but I just want you to know how important this is for our subject tonight. So, John chapter 3, and we look here in the sixth verse. And remember, this is one of the pillars. This is what I would call, and BJ, we would call this a scripture. And it's not just a doctrine, it's a scripture, it's a pillar, it's an absolute.
Right.
When the Lord says this, he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. There's not too much conjecture there. It's over. That's it. It's black and white. It is exactly what Christ said. That which is born of spirit is spirit, that which is born of flesh in flesh. So right now you understand the intersection.
Right.
It's as clear as that right there.
Yeah.
The intersection is one way, it's flesh, and the other way, it's spirit.
It's like I told you, a few minutes before we flipped all the switches here in the barn and our broadcasting, a few years ago, there was bumper stickers, there was key chains, there was little bracelets, and it would say WWWJD, what would Jesus do? And I said, and it kind of went along the wayside of like a hula hoop or a pet rock or like a
right.
gimmick song.
Right.
And I said that saying, what would Jesus do, is close, but it's really not accurate. What would have been better is, what would Jesus choose? Because it's really as simple as, are you making life choices? Are you making daily decisions to act and think and say and do as a spirit being or as a human being?
You know,
where and,
yes.
and see, a lot of times people are so caught up in useless drama and ridiculous thinking that they're even unaware that there really is an A and a B. They could make a choice.
Right, right.
They don't know this.
Yep.
And by the way, we just got a welcome from a guy in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. It says, Chuck, he says, welcome to Tuesdays, guys. That's
okay.
Kind of neat.
That's yeah. very nice. You know, when you said, what would Jesus choose? If we want to break some of these things down and do a little mathematics on it, what would Jesus choose versus what would Jesus do? Think about it this way. Before you do anything, there's a mental part. There's a choice.
Yes.
There's a decision. So when you look at what would Jesus choose versus what would he do, what it does is it backs you up one step to think mind renewal, being renewed in your thoughts.
Right.
Because if you're thinking along the lines of your spirit and of grace, it's not difficult to do of the things of the spirit.
No, and a lot of times people are so innocent. And they don't understand how close Christ is to them.
Correct.
That they'll say things like this. I knew this was going to go bad. I knew this was wrong.
Right.
I knew I shouldn't say this. I knew I shouldn't go there. I knew I shouldn't do this. I just knew it, that this was going to go bad. And before they know it, they're somewhere they don't want to be. They're involved with someone or something or doing something that they don't want to do. And for an instant, for a very, very short instant, they says, I knew it. Well, that's your spirit. That's when your mind was open and God, Christ, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, grace, however you want to phrase it, literally was just saying, hey, wake up, smell the
right,
coffee.
Right.
and you let the world, peer pressure, drama, your flesh, your habits of being in the world literally trump, supersede, like have 10 pounds in the world and only a pound of spirit. And every once in a while, there's a knock. And then you says, I knew this was going to go bad. I knew I shouldn't come to this party. I knew I shouldn't go to this bar. I knew I shouldn't go help this person because it was just going to... Ladies and gentlemen, did you ever wonder what that feeling was, where that comes from?
Sure.
Because that's the choices. That's what we're talking about. Think of it this way. If there is no hell in your life, there is no Satan in your life, there is no negative energy in his life, and he's been defeated, and Jesus' blood washed away all of your sins, then what you have to decide is, are you stumbling over a rock, a pebble, or are you literally banging your head against a wall? Because whether it's a pebble you trip over, or a rock that you stumble on, or you slam your face into a wall, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, those are things that you have created on your own.
Right.
And can't you back this up with scripture?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a ton of scripture for tonight that we have, and I'm just wondering whether we want to get into some of that. I'll tell you what, let me just do an overview of something for a second, just for folks. And that is, when you look, and you can look through the Old Covenant, you can look through the writings of Christ, you can go into Paul's revelation that's so necessary for us to see, that has to do with the body of Christ on this side of the cross. And no matter where you go in Scripture, you'll find that there's information or doctrine. For instance, let's take Paul for a second and think about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And it's so small, there's just 6 chapters. It'd be very easy tonight for you to read it and see it for yourself. But when you look at the first 3 chapters, for sure, you see amazing doctrine. And Paul is beginning to give us absolutes. He's showing us who we are. He's showing us that there's a great mystery. He's revealing truth about what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection. He's revealing truth concerning redemption. He's showing us that we have a part in that. He's showing us how wonderful it is to be on this side of the cross and to be in Christ and have something to do with this wonderful redemption. Okay, but when you get to verse chapter 4 and 5 and 6, what you see is Paul endeavoring to turn people from the doctrine into the experience of the doctrine. Turn people from what would be absolutes or scripture into the experience of the scriptures. And he does that, it's very interesting, but he does that by saying, okay, well, this is what you used to live like, but now you're not that way anymore. This is how you are. And, well, this is really bad. This is what the Gentiles do. And, well, you wouldn't want to be involved in that because that would harden your heart. And you'd end up being ignorant of spiritual things. And you'd end up, you know, covering yourself up. And you wouldn't have the advantage. And you wouldn't experience the advantage of the first 3 chapters of what I told you, which is all this amazing and wonderful privilege that you have now that you're in Christ. Folks, listen, you can't get away from this. And something BJ and I, we were talking about before the show. You will never be able to run from the fact that everything you do in life will be by your choice. BJ, say something about that.
Well, it's like someone who says, when you come home at night, and you sit in your favorite chair, and you have a big meal, and you snack until you go to bed, and then all of a sudden you're 25 pounds overweight, and he says, I don't know how this happened to me.
Right.
This isn't fair.
Right.
Or when you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes for 25 years, and you've got that smoker's laugh. Everybody knows what
right.
a smoker's laugh is.
Right.
Or you've got that smoker's cough, and they say, well, this isn't fair. Why'd this happen to me? I mean, if folks, if it's thunder, lightning, and raining outside, and you're walking around out in the weather with a 10-foot piece of steel and no rain gear, and you're barefoot, so you're grounded and you're holding a steel rod,
right,
you'd say, I'm not going to do that. Number one, I don't want to get wet. Number two, it's lightning out there and you're setting me up to get struck by lightning. Well, if you recognize that if you're barefoot in a thunderstorm with a steel pipe, barefooted, that you could get struck by lightning and that you're going to drown or get hailed on, why do you not see this when it comes to your own personal health?
Sure.
Why don't you see this when it comes to the people that you call your friends and you associate with, or the places that you go? Because it has to be something small. Because when your house is on fire, there's not a lot of choices.
But
when you crash your car,
yeah,
there's not a lot of choices. Because the really big things in life limit your options. But the
right
problem with these little frog hair simplistic things is that people really don't see that there are a multitude of ways of dealing and feeling and thinking with things.
Right. And in fact, when you were talking there, BJ, think about like the question you asked, and you kind of put out there a thought in people's mind, which is, why don't we, when it comes to our health, or when it comes to other smaller areas? For instance, you were saying, you know, look at the life-threatening situation of walking out in the water in bare feet with a rod in your hand in the middle of a lightning storm.
Right.
Well, it's the life and death situation, the big thing that everybody is aware of.
Right.
But they're not aware of the smaller things.
No.
So if we take that over into the spiritual, our spiritual conditioning of living, acknowledging the Spirit, and working with the grace of God, where does that fit on the scale? It is, in most people's minds, such a minute importance that they literally dismiss it away as being important at all.
Well,
and that's one of the reasons why people don't function or begin to operate like that.
It's kind of like the other day I was working on somebody's horse and they had a minor emergency, and so I went over to their place, and it wasn't really emergency, but it was to them, and you know, I comforted them and calmed them down, and you know, bandaged up the horse's leg, and everything was fine, and I says, what happened here? And she says, I'm so mad because I told him not to go to Bass Pro Shops and buy any more rods and reels. Look at this. And like the whole wall of their garage is, I mean, there must have been 20, 30 fishing poles. And she says, most of them have never even been used. And some of them still had like price tags hanging on it.
Oh, wow.
And she says, he literally just spent $200 on another fishing pole. And she says, well, you know what? If he's going to do that, then I think I'm going to go to the mall and buy another purse. And she says, what do you think? And I says, I think you guys are so busy hurting each other that you don't have any fun. I says, the reason your horse's leg got caught in this wire is because you guys are so busy trying to figure out how to outdo each other painfully, nobody took the time to walk around in your pasture to see that this wire could get wrapped around your horse's leg.
How'd she take that?
Well, she just kind of, her jaw opened up. And I says, you know, I says, what are you guys doing? I says, you know, I says, and I literally said, I says, you want to know why I'm single and I'm not married? And I says, because things like this, I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to take the chance. I says, you know, I wake up in a good mood. I go to bed in a good mood. I spend my whole day with horses. Why would I want to risk that for a collection of fishing poles?
Right.
And she says, well, no, it's not that bad. And I go, well, you just said it was. And she says, you know, she says, you make it sound stupid. And I says, I don't make it sound stupid. I'm just pointing out how stupid it is.
Right. You know,
and even
your topic shows the decisions that are made and how easy it is for people to make them without any consciousness of them being hurtful, harmful, or wrong.
It's like the priest that told me about the radar detectors being donated to the vans of the Catholic Church.
Right.
And I said, really? He says, yeah. And I says, you literally just told me that somebody gave you radar detectors for all the vans for the Catholic churches, and you're excited about this. And he says, we are. And I says, so you're excited that you can break the law and not get caught? I says, that doesn't sound very nice. And he got really quiet. And he says, well, that's pretty absolute. And I says, really? I says, is there anything in the Bible that isn't on, off, yes, no, go, stop, absolute? And he says, no. And I said, so what do you think the availability of grace is when you're outfitting all of your vans with radar detectors? I says, why wouldn't you just drive the speed limit and say a prayer that you get everybody to the church on time, to the building, to wherever they got to go, to wherever you haul these people.
Right, right.
And he said, I said, doesn't that sound more like grace and spiritual? And he said, sometimes I really hate you, you know. And then he started laughing. And I says, well, I says, it seems pretty simple to me.
Right.
And, you know, it's like giving the dollar back when you get a dollar too much. It's like when you see somebody drop a quarter, tell them it's their quarter. I mean, folks, think of it this way, okay? It's like those old cowboy movies with the trains, with the locomotives, where they blow steam and you know, you can hear them coming for a long way, and they have that distinctive whistle. You know, those old-fashioned trains that sounded like that. And they had a whole bunch of wood. They always had to throw wood in there. And there was a big door, and they always had to throw wood in there to keep the fire going. Think of it this way. There are two trains in your world, in your existence. One is a spiritual train, and one is a flesh-worldly train.
Right.
Now, in the worldly train, you're always pitching wood. It's hard work. I mean, just one log after another. You never stop. You're just chucking those in the locomotive. But you're never really going anywhere. And it's a rough riding train. Or there's the spiritual train. And when you go to throw wood, there's grace. And grace says, wait a minute. Let me throw the wood for you. If you have a choice between good and evil, heaven and hell, a grace train or a world train, where you throw the wood or grace throws the wood, once you realize that you have a choice, once you realize that there is two tangible places for you to exist and to enjoy or not enjoy, you out of habit, you'll start to make good decisions. Out of habit, you'll stop doing things, or you'll start doing things, and it snowballs. The only reason that most people don't enjoy grace is because the only habits they have are ones that they've grown up with and they've learned. If you're born in Mexico, you speak Spanish. If you're born in Sioux City, Iowa, chances are you're going to speak American English. Because that's how you've grown up. That's what you've known. That's the world you're living in. So that if you decide through spiritual diagnostics that the possibility that the structure you go to on a Sunday seems more like a building with religion and doctrine than it does with spirit and grace and a church, you don't admonish them, don't criticize them. Recognize that possibly the information and the reality that you believe quite possibly is not really what is best for you.
Right.
And Scripture talks about this, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's part of the whole discussion tonight, is to bring people to an understanding again.
Well, do that for them. Really just lay this out for them.
Well, over here in Luke in chapter 4, And I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry." And I want to draw your attention to the fact he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so when consciously you are of the Spirit, that's exactly what would have kept Jesus for 40 days being sustained by the Spirit. In fact, if you'll remember, over in the instance there in John in chapter 4, where Jesus was tired from a long trip, and it said that he went ahead and asked a woman from Samaria who was drawing some water from the well if she would get him something to drink. And she was high in question because she said, "You being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink. You know, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus made the comment, "If you knew who it was and the gift of God and who it is who asked you for a drink, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water." Well, the dialogue continued to go on. And we see that Jesus, when the disciples came back, they said to him, "Master, you know, you need some food. I mean, we went into town to get food." Jesus made the comment. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone." And then he went on to say, "I have food to eat of which you know not." So Jesus understood spiritual principles. He understood that when you're in a very strong consciousness of spiritual things, you know, earthly things, worldly things, things of the flesh, do not have the same importance. And so when we see Jesus acknowledge that he was hungry here, it says, "And when they had ended, he was hungry." It's because the thought of food came to him, and just that quickly, his body registered that I'm hungry. And this is important because there couldn't have been a temptation to turn stone into bread unless he was hungry.
Right. And see, and negative energy was there.
Right.
And the only thing that negative energy was doing was a cheerleader.
Taking advantage of someone's
thought. That's right. There's nothing, I mean, I don't know about you, and I don't know if you know this, but there's a company called Swans, like the bird, and they do home deliveries of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since I remember since I was able to walk, I've always wanted to steal one of those trucks so I could have all that ice cream and give it to people for free. and now, I saw a truck today and I thought, and he left it idling and I thought, you know, I was talking to my dog Ranger. I says, you know, I could take that truck. I could steal that ice cream truck like right now. And I thought, no, can't steal the ice cream truck. But I said, boy, it sure would be fun to do that. You know, give everybody free ice cream. And, right. You know, but I mean, that's what Jesus, his choice was.
Yeah.
Because if he would have acknowledged, oh my gosh, I haven't had anything to eat for 40 days. I'm starving. He could have changed that rock into a dozen Whoppers.
Yeah, sure he could.
20 Big Macs. Or 5 Arby's sandwiches or you know, a bunch of burritos from Taco Bell, whatever. But the whole point was, is he had an earthly thought. He yes. had a thought that yes. was counterproductive to his spirit, counterproductive to his relationship with his father. And he said, no, it's just a thought. I'm fine.
Isn't it interesting how thoughts trigger physical responses?
And now, folks, you can understand, you will do greater works than me.
Yeah.
It's and the greater works is that you disavow the lump, you disavow the swollen joint.
Correct.
You disavow the blurred vision without glasses, because it's only tangible and it only means something if you think it does.
Right. Right.
If you think that you're going to go to sleep and you're going to puddle your bed, you're going to go to the bathroom in your bed, if you think because you have done it before or even you did it last night, so more than likely you're going to do it tonight, you will. But if you start thinking, no, I'm not going to do that in my bed anymore, I'm going to make sure that I wake up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and that grace is going to help me with this, It's about making a decision, even if you're a child or an adult, or if it's arthritis, or even if it's just, I don't want to go to an indie casino and throw my paycheck away.
You know, think of how many hundreds and possibly even thousands of thoughts come to an individual
every single day.
And with every one of them is an opportunity to participate, to what we've called before on other shows, give your energy to it. In other words, yield to it. Give yourself to it. I think you'll like these scriptures here because James talks about this very thing. It says in verse 12 of chapter 1 of James, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Notice the next couple of verses. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Well, that's an absolute right there. God's not the one tempting you. "But each one is tempted when he was drawn away by his own desires and enticed." Isn't that interesting that the temptation isn't really from the devil? It comes down to an individual's desires and how they become enticed by those desires.
Yeah, we're receiving some emails, and I want to read these three emails because they all have similarities to them. And they're all things that I think that you can instantly answer and then back up your answer with some scripture.
Okay, I'll come back to that thought.
Yeah, because the reason is because where you're going with this thought is going to help these people
a
lot.
Good.
Okay, the first one came in about 4 hours ago, and it says, "You can read on the show. I have a question about instant results. My desire is to see instant results, so when I tell a symptom to leave and it doesn't happen right then, should there be a fight? Or should we just continue to trust in grace? How do I get my prayers answered instantly? Don't answer, but do you see how this fits?
Right.
Okay, here's the next one. The next one comes in and it says, "Brother Jim recently spoke at my church, and while I understand the message of grace and fully believe this is how God wants us to live, where do I start? How do I begin to apply it to my life? That one is from a man, one is from a woman in two different states, but do you see how they're the same?
Right.
Okay, here's the third one. This one literally just came in. It's only 17 minutes ago on the Abiding Presence in an email. Last week's message was the best ever. Thank you for your show. You are trying so hard to get this to me so I can quit looking at what my flesh is telling me. Don't give up on me. I know I will get this. Please explain how grace is now and healing is instant. This boggles my mind." Do you see how these three people are? I mean, it's literally the same question.
Yes.
Only worded differently from one man and two women. Because now you can finish your thought and you can help these people.
Yeah. When I get back into the scripture here and finish this, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Notice the progression there. It went from thoughts and desires into being conceived. So the moment that an individual begins to put action to their thoughts, they begin to put energy to their thoughts, immediately that's when things are conceived. That's when sin takes place. For instance, you would say it like this. Just because there was a temptation doesn't mean you've sinned until you actually do something with it. Until you give it place, until you give it energy. The same way for those that are asking questions about healing. Think of this. The same way a temptation is to sin, symptoms are to sickness. Meaning, very simply, if a temptation is only an opportunity, it's a thought that if you develop, you'll end up in sin, then symptoms are just thoughts or feelings of this earthly realm. that if you yield to, you end up with sickness. Because the real thought has to go back to an absolute, something that's absolute in Christ. And that is, he took my infirmity and bore my sickness. With his stripes, we are healed. The devil has no power. He's been defeated. All of those thoughts I just gave you, scriptures that I've just revealed to you, those are absolutes. And it's just exactly as it's spoken. Literally, sickness and disease is done in your life. It's over. And when we start to think of grace can actually give an instantaneous, well, here's the point. If something is and you're not experiencing it, it's because you're doing something else well.
It's like that couple that got really mad at me in the sporting goods section of Walmart. There's right. A lot of people that get mad at me at Walmart. Maybe I should not go to Walmart. Maybe Walmart's dangerous for me. Okay. I don't know if you remember this, but a lot of you will, and a lot we always have new listeners.
When you leave the gates of this ranch, it's dangerous for you.
It is. But you know what's interesting is everybody that comes to this ranch, when they step out of the car, the first thing they say is, I feel completely different.
Right.
You said it the other night. What did you say the other night about the ranch? You said the ranch is drowning in grace.
Yeah.
You said everything about the ranch is grace.
Yeah.
You know, you just step out of a vehicle, and you can just tell the atmosphere here is just different. Okay. Oh, and I want to get to that about Shelley's show.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in Walmart, and there's this couple, and they're looking at first aid kits, and they're talking, and I was talking, and they recognized my voice, and he says, and I says, can I ask you a question? He says, yeah. And I says, do you believe in God? And he says, well, yes. They were kind of indignant because, you know, I look like I just robbed a stagecoach. And they says, why do you ask? And I says, well, why are you buying a first aid kit? And he says, well, we're going camping. And I says, well, if you're a Christian and you believe in God, why wouldn't you just say, we want to have a really great weekend, we want to go camping, we don't want bug bites, we don't want ticks, and we don't want to burn the marshmallows. Amen. And he just looked at me like I was, you know, should be struck by lightning.
Right.
And I says, you know, if you ask grace, grace will take care of you, and you'll save that $9.95 on the first aid kit. And he says, well, we are praying for a good camping trip. And I says, well, then why are you buying a first aid kit? Are you worried that God doesn't have any Band-Aids? Are you worried that the Holy Spirit doesn't have an ice pack handy? I says, what's the story? Well, you know me, I get real sarcastic, sure. You know, and I get real sharp. And they just gave me dirty looks. You know, and the right. You know, and she says, well, obviously, you don't know anything about Christianity by your appearance. And I said, no. You know, and he says, well, what do you do? And I says, I'm a bum. I'm just a bum. I'm just in Walmart to shoplift. You know me. When people say things, you know, I just go over the edge. I says, I'm just a bum. I'm just in Walmart to shoplift, just to steal some food. Can I have a dollar? You know, they just, they just scurried away with their, you know, they took two first aid kits.
Right.
I guess they figured they needed an extra one to protect themselves from me. But the point being is, folks, is that you do these things to yourself. Can you imagine the opportunity that couple had to enjoy the presence of Christ? If they literally, I'm sure they were taking grandkids because they were like older people. You know, I'm sure that this was like a big family camping trip. I mean, can you imagine what that would have done if they would have set their tents up and they all would have held hands and they just would have said, God, thank you for a wonderful weekend. What conviction that is.
Right. Right.
When you say a prayer like that, you're literally challenging God to be wrong. You're literally telling grace, it better get to work.
Yeah, you know, when the illustration you gave of the train.
Yeah,
We were talking about that, and something that was really, really good. As you were describing that, and we were just mentioning some things. Okay, if the world has to put in a log, you know, every couple of seconds to keep that train going, the beautiful thing about grace is it begins to work for you.
Yes.
And momentum is something that will actually work in the world, but it'll work also in Christ.
Yes.
And it's supposed to be that way, because to make a decision for Christ means you could have made a decision for the world.
Right.
So actually, like an old English gunfight, when they stand back to back,
a duel,
they each take a step away from each other.
Yes.
So they're two steps away, not just one.
Right.
And then there are four steps.
Yes.
And then there are six. It
yes.
multiplies. Well, that's how it is with grace.
It's clicks. We're back to clicks away,
yes.
which
yes.
we haven't used in months.
In a long time.
Yes.
But that's how it is with grace. So when we were talking about the two different trains, if your train and you're feeding logs into the train of your spirit, where you're moving forward by God's grace, don't you think grace would start chucking wood?
Yes.
Faster than you could ever chuck them?
Yes.
Until you'd get going down the track so fast, you could actually sit there and just watch grace chuck wood into the fire.
You know, it always takes people by surprise when they say, you know, you have such a really good relationship with God. You know, you just really seem to have a lot of God's love and grace in your life. And I go, thank you very much. And they say, you must pray a lot. And I laugh. And what do I tell you? I say, no. And what have I told you? The more enlightened I become, the closer I become to God, the less I pray.
Right.
And they go, well, why? And I says, well, what would I need? I mean, if you're away from home, if you're in college or you're away from home and you're still relying on your parents, you need credit cards, you need insurance on your car, maybe they're making your car payment. And you need all kinds of things. But if you move back into your parents' home, it's all there. So you really don't have to ask for anything.
Right.
Well, you can apply that theory to your relationship with God.
Yes.
And with grace, because the closer you become to God, the less important the world becomes. And quite frankly, folks, I mean, this may hurt your feelings, but I'm really sorry, because about 95% of the time, what you think you're praying for, it's literally ridiculous. And it's of this world, it's of the flesh, and it has nothing to do with a spirit being. It really doesn't. I mean, you can rationalize it. You can make it sound as flowery and religious as you want. But when you boil it down to gravy, it's of this world.
Yeah. Well, the two different ways, because there's always going to be two different ways. That's just something
yes.
in stone because of two bites of an apple. There's two different ways: the knowledge of good and evil. And so really, propelling yourself forward is actually a decision of two things. One, it's the acknowledgement of what was actually not good and cutting that off.
Right.
Because really, when you think of individuals that will go faster towards Christ, it's because they're learning how to, or they just never have been involved in the world in the degree that most people are.
Right.
Well, that's number one. But number two is making decisions to honor God's grace, to look for it, to see it, to be thankful for it. And the more thankful for it you are, the more all-encompassing you begin to see it,
yeah.
then the more all-encompassing you begin to see it.
Right.
Until literally your world is turned upside down and inside out with grace.
Right.
You recognize it, you acknowledge it, you use it.
Yes.
You recognize it, you acknowledge it, you use it. And you've got a real nice, handy little cycle that goes around and around and around, where you have testimony after testimony, and this is how you begin to progress.
Yeah.
And so for individuals that hear something, because, you know, when you hear BJ make a comment and bring some things, this is one of the things I love about his perspective, and bring Christianity, real Christianity, down where we live, which is talking about the camping trip and how wonderful it would be just to go on the trip without all of your insect repellents and without all of the things that you normally would take, and say, Lord, we just thank you for grace to help us to have an amazing time while we're here.
Right.
Well, why didn't you take such and such? Because we're swallowed up in what? Grace.
Or like the dishwasher.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the things that we don't think of.
Right.
that we involve ourselves with
right.
that ends up becoming the detriment to what? Spiritual progress.
It's probably been close to a year.
Yeah, at least.
Maybe over a year. You were supposed to come out to the ranch, and we were going to talk and make plans for the radio show. It hadn't started yet, and we were just going to have a nice couple of hours talking about God and grace and prayers and things and enlightenment. And you called me up, and you said, you know, I can't come. And I go, why? And you said, well, there's a repairman coming to fix the dishwasher. And Erin, my wife, is home alone, and I want to stay with her. And I literally just hung the phone. I said, okay. I just hung the phone up. And then I sent you a really nasty email. I said, are you kidding me? I says, you're going to spend time fellowshipping about God and grace and Jesus? I says, do you really think that grace is going to allow a dishwasher and a dishwasher repairman to get in the way of that? Or to make you regret spending time with God? Does that sound like grace? And you really thought about it, and it made a difference. And it made such a difference that you started making some really absolute choices. Well, not just for yourself, but as far as turning it into healing for your daughters
right.
with their sports injuries.
Yeah.
And when someone says, do you need this ice pack? You said, no, we don't need an ice pack. It's like if you have a headache and you say, oh, I hope I have aspirin. Well, there you go. You've just shut the door on grace. The fact that if you have a headache and you think about aspirin, a more Christian point of view would be, you know, I think my head hurts. Thank you, grace, for not allowing my head to hurt. What a ridiculous thought to have a headache. How funny is that?
Well, the fact that you would have to acknowledge it and put energy toward it. And that actually goes back to one of the emails, too, of do I continue to rebuke this? Do I continue to stay in a position to say, you know, leave me, leave me, leave me? Well, I get that, but that whole position is actually putting a focus on something that really has been handled by Christ.
The one email that we got from the man, he said, do I continue to fight? Unfortunately, the fact that he thinks there's a fight is the problem with his perspective.
Right.
Because if he thinks that there's a battle, if he thinks that there's something to fight, well, then he's literally shoveling wood in the wrong train. He's literally putting a pedestal on some type of drama or physical issue. I mean, think of it. If you think, you know, he says, well, I haven't gotten grace yet, and my prayer hasn't been answered. Should I continue to fight? Well, what does fight mean? Fight means that you need to resist. What do you have to resist? Because if you have to resist something, that means it's real. It's tangible.
Yeah,
that is literally a huge rock for that person.
Yeah, over in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold to eternal life. The fight of faith is actually recognizing grace. That's the fight of faith.
Yes.
Is to recognize grace, or to recognize the eternal life that we're in, the spirit world, God, Christ, the anointing. Recognizing grace is why? Because everything of this world will try to get you to recognize what's in it. It'll draw your attention. Go back to Solomon and how he spoke in Proverbs chapter 4 when he said, my son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health and healing to all your flesh. In other words, he's saying, keep chucking wood in the train of your spirit. Keep listening to the things of your spirit, of the Holy Spirit, of God, of Christ. And that becomes the actual fight. It's not a fight against a problem, because the real truth of the matter is, how can that problem exist when Christ already defeated it? It's already gone. And this is one of the things that's very interesting, and really you need to get a hold of this thought. If something is, and something is trying to tell you it's not, to turn your back on what's telling you it's not is to actually walk into what is. And I'll make it a little bit clearer. if healing is already established, which means the way God sees you is you are eternally healed. He's not having to work up some type of anointing to get you healed when on this side of the cross you already are. So if there's some type of symptom that's trying to tell you you're not, it's the same thing as temptation. Just because a temptation tries to tell you to sin doesn't mean you give it your energy. You participate with it. Just because pain comes to your head doesn't mean that you have a headache. You have an occasion for one. You have symptoms that make it look like you have one. But to dismiss it, to not participate in it, to actually do the opposite is the very thing that will literally cause you to experience what is. Because the truth is, you are healed. You are righteous. This is where Paul speaks about things and Jesus speaks about things. The absolutes of Christ. What does it mean to come into Christ? What does it mean to have the benefit of our salvation? You go over to Psalm 103, and you look at the first few verses, and it tells you, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Who what? Who forgives all your iniquities or your sins? Who heals all your diseases? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who satisfies your mouth with good things and renews your strength as of the eagles? Now these things are in Christ. They're absolutes. The fact that you've been redeemed from destruction, it's not something that has to happen. It's something that has happened. The fact that all sin is forgiven, it's not something that God needs to do, it's something that's already done. The fact that we've been healed from all sickness and all disease means just that. You've been healed from all of them. It is an already settled fact. It's a reality of your spirit. So to fight against something that seems to be contrary is actually to dismiss the reality that you're healed. To fight for the right to have healing because it's grace is to honor grace.
Yes.
But not to fight against something that's trying to say it's not so.
Right.
Because that's only to acknowledge that you don't really have healing.
Well, I was talking to a pastor today. I told you about this on the phone. A guy where I went and sprayed weeds along his fence line and, you know, around his creek on his property, sprayed weeds for him. He said he wanted me to come and, you know, speak at where he goes on a Sunday. And he says, "Well, my minister's at my house right now. My pastor's here." He says, "I'd like to put him on the phone." And I said, "Okay." And I says, "Well," I says, "let me tell you how I believe we have grace." I says, "You know," I says, "if someone was to ask you how many times today you've taken a breath, well, you'd think they were nuts. If someone said, I want you to count how many times you inhale and you exhale every hour, well, you'd say, I don't have to. If they tried to charge you for each breath, if they tried to tell you how to breathe, if they wanted you to breathe like everybody else in the building, well, you'd think they were nuts. They were crazy. And then I said, are we all equal in the eyes of God? And he said, yes. I said, well, if we're all his children, then that means that our each individual relationship is separate but equal. And he agreed. He said, yes. And I said, well, then grace is like air. The only time you don't have air is if you tied bricks around your feet and you jumped off the bridge into the water and you drowned. I says, the only time you wouldn't have air is if you dug a hole and you buried yourself alive. I said, the only time you wouldn't have air is if you put a plastic bag over your head.
Right.
Or if someone smothered you with a pillow.
Right.
So the only time you don't have grace is when you choose to do something that prevents grace from you. He got real quiet. But he said, that's right. Yes, that's right. And there's actually scripture that talks about keeping God's love from you. from your actions and how you choose.
Yeah, this is the whole reason why we're endeavoring to help people with the idea of small decisions.
Because it's like what you said at the beginning of the show. There are literally, for some people, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of crossroads where you literally come to a Y intersection and you can turn to the right or you can turn to the left. And sometimes it's big, like a car crash. But most of the time it isn't. It's small. Do you keep the dollar? Do you have road rage? Are you mad because the person in front of you in line has 20 items and it's only a 12-item checkout? Where are you placing your energy? Does it really matter?
Well, this is what makes the story about Jesus and the temptation really very appropriate for what we're talking about. When it said his answer was, because the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what Jesus did is he closed the door on a temptation of the flesh by turning completely against it, and literally turned himself right to the grace of God.
Started pitching wood.
Right to the Spirit. Sure, he started pitching wood into the train of the Spirit. And you can see it right here, what begins to happen. Each case that Jesus was tempted, notice what he did. He brought himself back to an understanding of what is a spiritual thought. So really, right there, you could say, look at how Jesus chose. That's why we can go all the way back to the bracelet. What would Jesus choose? You could say, look at what he did, but I like better to say, look at what he chose.
Yeah.
Because it really helps you to see, right here, he's being tempted. Right. What did he choose? Because before he did anything, he had to choose it. And he made the choice based on what was spirit and what was flesh.
And it talks about your actions and works are your testimony.
Right.
I mean, everybody thinks that when it talks about testifying for your love of God and testimony of your salvation, that you're literally supposed to walk around like a parrot or a tape recorder saying, God is good, God is great, God is good, God is great. I love Jesus. God is good, God is great. I love Jesus. Well, then they wonder why nobody wants to be around him and why they're ostracized. When Scripture talks about testifying, ladies and gentlemen, when Scripture talks about testimony, they're talking about the true testimony. The true testimony of a Christian is your actions.
Yeah.
What you say and what you do. What greater compliment is there to someone? If someone teaches you how to drive and you do everything perfect, think of the joy and the pride of your instructor, because you're doing what you were taught. Think of the joy and the love and the admiration of God if you choose grace, if you enjoy grace, if you turn your back on animal abuse and drinking, gambling, whatever things seem to be a bad thing in your life.
Well, I'm over here in James in chapter 2. Notice what it says, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? He's building a case here to say, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Yeah.
Said someone will say, well, you have faith and I have works. He said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Yeah.
And he's showing them right there. He said, I'm pointing myself towards what is of the Spirit, and I'm actually doing something about it. Versus the individual who says all the flowery right things. And this is a part of what religion does.
It is.
Religion helps you to feel justified by the things that you say, and yet there's nothing there to back it up.
You know, if somebody tells you they're a really good cook, or they're the world's greatest cook, you say, really? Well, cook something.
Prove it.
Prove it. I can fix your car. I'm the greatest mechanic in the world. Really? Well, what's wrong with my car? Figure it out.
Right.
You apply that to everything. In my world, in the world of horses, in my world, this is a saying that's been around my whole life. You're only as good as the last horse you worked on. Yeah. It doesn't do me a bit of good to say I've been doing this for 38 years. I've got this, I've done this. That's not what people care about. What they care about is they want to see how I handle their horse.
Sure.
Can I fix things?
Right.
Can I make the horse more comfortable? Because that's all they care about.
Right.
And they really don't care about my reputation. They just, it's literally about, you're only as good as the last horse. Well, ladies and gentlemen, think of it this way. If you're a spirit being and you're with God, then you have grace. But to testify is to use grace.
Yes.
Is to put it in action.
Exactly.
So you could literally say you're only a Christian if you're using grace.
Yeah, I was in a service.
That's just, harsh.
Yeah, yeah. But I was in a service just the other morning. So it was a Sunday morning. And I noticed that there was a altar call given for people to come up and be prayed for by some of the altar workers. And a lady that is, I don't know what her age would be, but I'd say somewhere probably 70 or above, she went up and I noticed that she was hobbling a little bit. There was something wrong. And I've seen her before not hobble at all, okay? So there's got to be something happening. And she went up and received prayer and then just hobbled back. Which the first thing is, I say, well, what was given to you in the prayer, I would have run around the room.
Yes.
I mean, it's time to go ahead and use what you just experienced in the prayer. But anyhow, she went back and hobbled back and sat in her seat. And then what I noticed was on a Facebook the next day, that one of the members of the family wrote to say, does anybody know of a good doctor? Because we need to find a good doctor because we're not really, know exactly how to work with all within the confines of, someone that's up in years and all the different
Medicaid,
things,
Medicare.
All the things that you got to go through.
Oh,
you need a good doctor.
Oh, man.
So, of course, what I'm thinking to myself is, well, that's just, that takes the cake there. See, that's what most people would actually have, most Christians would not even recognize that something's wrong with that.
No.
They wouldn't realize that that's an oddity. That those of the Spirit, you're talking about any of the patriarchs that are Moses, Elijah, any that are over there on the other side, angels would even look at this and say, what in the world are they doing?
Yeah, there's no room for me. That's what grace says. I'm sorry, there's no room for me. I'm going to take it a step farther because the way I look at it is, wait a minute. You've just been in front of a group of people and a whole bunch of people, a prayer team prayed for you, and you're walking away with a limp? What's wrong with this picture? Let's do a spiritual diagnostic right now. Because if there's a bunch of people and it's a Sunday morning and there's people going up there and they're walking away in the same condition that they walked up there and it hurt them to do that.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
This isn't a church. This isn't a prayer team. This is a religious team, and this is a doctrine building, and we want you to come back because we will help you. We'll coddle you. We'll give you comfort.
Right. So if you looked at the statements of most people to say we're believing God, what it really means is we have a rabbit's foot that we're rubbing.
Because religion and buildings and doctrine will tell people, let's all help her out. She needs a wheelchair. Let's buy her a wheelchair. She needs crutches. Who wants to buy her crutches? Who here has a Christian heart? Because if I was in that building and they said, who has a Christian heart? I'd say, you know what? Let's take the money from the wheelchair and the crutches and let's buy her a pair of jogging shoes and let's put grandma out on the track. And say, run, granny, run. Right. And thank God that she's going to run really fast, because Grace would say, oh, yes, yes, if you're going to give Grandma running shoes, way to go. But if you're going to give her Medicare, Medicaid, Grace is saying, there's no room for me here.
Yeah, in fact, I saw a really amazing...
Where's their energy? Where are they chucking wood?
Right. I was in a church, I think it was in North Carolina, and we had a lady there, and it was really funny because she was trying to hide her cane from me while I was preaching.
I made a comment.
I said, you know, if anybody has a cane in this room, I said it's usually my right and privilege to find it, break it, and destroy it, and then make you have to get healed. And I said that just messing with her, you know. And yeah. I saw her take her heel, and she kicked her cane, which was on the floor underneath her seat, so I wouldn't see it. So I'm watching that out of the corner of my eye.
That's just
so
really
in the
sad.
In the middle.
It is. It's sad.
Yeah. Thanks very much. In the middle of my preaching, I made my way back there, and right while I was talking, I looked at her and said, "You know, I saw what you did."
Yeah.
I said, "I'll have that before the night's over." And she just, you know, swallowed real hard. You could tell, you know.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, it got to a place where I just said, all right, let's go back there and get this lady healed. And so I said, now stand up. You don't need your cane. Leave it right where it is. In fact, give it to me. And she gave it to me. And I ran up and put it on the platform. And I walked back to her and I said, now stand up. Well, I didn't realize, you know, what condition she was in. So she could hardly even get up. I mean, it took her forever. And I told everybody, I said, leave her alone. It took her forever to kind of swing her body forward and get her weight on her feet where she could actually stand. And then when she stood, she looked like she had, you know, a half a leg, because her whole body just slumped real hard to one side.
Right.
Because her hip was all messed up.
Right.
Well, I looked at her and I said, now, I'm going to go ahead and just pray for you. And the moment I do, you'll be completely well. Well, of course, that's the way I said it then. Today, I'd say it differently. I'd say, well, you know, the whole idea is you've already been made completely well.
Yeah.
Why in the world would we give into this? I really don't need to pray. If you want me to, I can, but I don't even have to. That's what I'd end up saying now. But anyhow, I said, I'm going to pray for you. You'll be made instantly well. And I said, and then you can walk. So I prayed for her, just tapped her on the head. I said, there you go. That's all you need. And I said, walk. And she began to walk all crooked. And I stopped her and said, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
Good for you.
And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, what in the world are you doing walking like that? I said, that doesn't look like you're healed. I said, when I pray for you, you'll be instantly healed. And you could see her wheels turning, right? So I said to her, I said, now, you can go ahead and try to do it all you want to. But I said, the idea is you're well. So walk like you're well. And then she went like this. She took a big breath and then exhaled it, as though she's going to give me now all this effort to be well.
Right.
So I stopped her. I said, whoa, what was that all about? And she said, what? I said, you're inhaling and exhaling. And I went ahead and did it for her.
Like it's a big deal.
Like this is a big deal. I said, so now what you're telling me is God needs your effort. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Versus he
sacrifice,
just, he just needs your trust.
Yeah.
And she had this interesting look on her face, gave me the dog look.
Yeah.
You know, turned sideways and started thinking about it. And without saying a word, BJ, she literally took and walked around that room perfectly normal. Because she got it. I'm trying to help God out. I'm in the way.
That's the choice.
Why don't I just... Yes, it's a choice.
That's the choices we're talking about. Where are you going to put your effort? Your
energy.
But
you say, okay, that's a tremendous story, from seeing how badly she was experiencing it to seeing how good she was. My point is, she was always healed. She was always well.
Speaking of that, it's like today when we were talking on the phone, when I called you and I said, you know, you got a show, it's Tuesday night. You know,
yes.
I was just messing with you.
Yeah.
And by the way, I should take a moment since I said that, is if you're listening to this show tomorrow night, Wednesday, we have moved the show to Tuesday nights from 8 till whenever. And so This is another mention during the show. Okay, I said, you know, when are you going to have a next There's Really Nothing Wrong meeting? And it took you by surprise.
Yeah.
And I said, what? And I says, well, when are you going to have another Thursday night There's Really Nothing Wrong meeting? Right. And then finally you got it. You started laughing. You said, that's really good. And I said, well, that's what you're... I says, don't have a healing meeting, because if you're having a healing, it means that there's things wrong. I said, get a bunch of Christians together and celebrate and have candy and cookies and snacks and say there's really nothing wrong.
Right.
I said, Grace will be serving Rice Krispie Squares and Kool-Aid at that event.
Yeah.
But if you say, let's have a healing, that literally means that everybody that walks in the door has got drama. They've got issues. They've got something wrong that needs to be changed. But if they're walking in the door saying, I'm going to There's Really Nothing Wrong meeting, see the attitude, folks.
Yeah.
See the conviction. See what you're literally doing. You're literally challenging God to prove you wrong. Because when you have so much attitude that you're like that, grace is all over you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. In fact, I was just finding...
But if you're saying, should I fight the fight? Should I continue to battle?
Right.
That's not it.
No, no, no. In fact, I'm just looking up in Scripture here, and
do you need more time, or did you find it?
No, I know it, and I'll find the
well,
actual
as
verse.
As you're finding it, folks, I want to take a moment
okay,
to.
I'll find it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, just find it. While Jim is finding it, I want to take a moment because we're always getting new listeners every week. You just heard me allude to the fact that we're doing the show live on Tuesday nights now from the home place, otherwise known as the ranch, where I live with the horses and my dog. But also, there are on the Abiding Presence website, there are letters, there are articles, there are theories. There's a lot of things on the website that you may want to read that might help you to catch up. And by the by, I literally am in the process of archiving all of the shows on the website. What that means is that every broadcast that Jim has done as the Abiding Presence radio show, they're all going to be listed, the date and a little sentence of what the topics were. We're working on that so that if you like this and we allude to things that we've talked about in the past, you're going to be able to enjoy the archive shows. I'm working on it. And with the help of Chris Love, who's our internet IT technician, IT guy. So this is coming about. And so I appreciate the people that have complimented Jim about saying, I want to hear shows that I've never heard before, or maybe that there was a show that you remember several months ago that you just wish you could hear again because it had some good information for you. This is coming. Now remember, we're here every Tuesday night now, and the show is still going to stream 24 hours, 7 days a week, and when the show's done, it takes me about 15 to 20 minutes to get it uploaded and going. Did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah,
okay,
I did.
Now remember, tell everybody where it is a couple of times, because sometimes you blow right by the book and the verse.
Well, it's over here in Isaiah and chapter 43.
So it's Isaiah 43.
Yes, Isaiah 43, and the verse that it would be is starting in verse 25. And I'm just pulling it up on my Bible program so I can get another translation. But this is really good, and I really believe you're going to love this.
Yeah, read them both.
So it
read
says, here it says, verse 25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So that's right away, all sins are
all
forgiven.
All sins are forgiven.
Verse 26, put me in remembrance. So you couldn't do this unless all sins were forgiven. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Well, that's pretty interesting. So from the Message Bible, it says, Yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. Verse 26, so make your case against me. Let's have this out. Make your arguments. Prove you're in the right. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what we've been talking about all night long.
Look at what the Lord's saying. He's saying, go ahead and prove this to be so. You know, it's interesting.
He's daring you to dare him.
Yes, he is. There's some songs that are really good, and nowadays it's very few.
Right.
That have any worth to them, because people are swallowed up in the world and they're caught up in what they think is Christianity. That's really hyperbole.
Well, it is.
And so, but there is an amazing song that was a hymn, and it goes, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you o'er and o'er." And notice, even back then, which was written so many years ago, that song there, it talks about how I prove you. Or and or.
Right.
Well, over and over and over, I prove you, and I prove you, and I prove you. Well, what happened to that? Because it's the proof that is the testimony.
Right.
And without the proof, what do we have? But just doctrine,
yeah.
Religion, people spinning their wheels. And it's the proof that would have, upon that prayer, told that dear lady that came up, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing well. I'm healed. Well, then run.
There you go.
And I'll run with you. You know, BJ, I look at, and see, this is so misconstrued, but I look at how many healings I've seen over the years and always see so many more the more I'm contentious,
right,
with people's problems, which folks look at it like, wow, you are crazy. Do you remember? People come up to me and say, 10 years ago, I was healed in your meeting. Do you remember what you did? And I think, no, I have no idea.
Right, how,
well,
yeah.
You slapped me in the head, or you hit me in the stomach, or you made me run around. You made me, you pushed on my back. You did all these things, and I was completely healed, and I've been healed ever since.
Right.
Well, when those things are happening, people that look on, they come up with wrong deductions. The deduction is, well, Jim has a special anointing on him. He is an evangelist, so that's the reason why it works. The real deduction is he's proving grace.
It's like the other night when you left the ranch, and I joked, and I said, you know, I says, my real testimony isn't that I was paralyzed, a paraplegic, and I'm walking, and I did it on my own without any insurance money or government money or therapy or help. I just did it on my own here on the ranch. I said, the fact that I've been saved and now I'm up to 137 prayers answered, 38 prayers answered, that's not my testimony. The real testimony of me is I got it.
Yes.
And if I can do it, anybody can.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that I've been this really bad person, but in the same light, I've been extremely self-indulgent. And that's the ironic thing. People say, oh, God really loves you. You know, you must live a great life. And I go, really? No, it's just the opposite. I've got a bad attitude. I'm a snot. And I spend all my time with animals. I says, does that sound like I'm, you know, a Cub Scout master? Or, you know, I'm head of the PTA? No.
Yeah,
I says, that's my testimony, that if I'm experiencing grace, if grace is working for me, then it should literally be as much or easier or accessible for you.
I've got a scripture for you based on what you just said.
About PTA?
Well, pretty much. It says 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, and it says here in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And it goes on to say, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And he goes on to say, verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And then this is where it all comes in. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Stay with me, you're going to like this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. In other words, when
where
you
is that, tell people where that is.
It's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 28. And it goes on to say in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The point he's making is God has always, to the world has their own ideas of what it should look like, what it should smell like, how it should be.
Right.
God always chooses those that it doesn't look like what everyone else thinks it should look like. When you made the comment, you said, look at me, and look at what people say to you all the time.
Yeah.
Let's say things just based on the fact that you're a cowboy and you're not in a three-piece suit. They'll say, well, how could you be a Christian?
Yeah.
And that's when you always mess with them and say, yeah, you're right, I'm not.
No.
Because it's so ridiculous that they're trying to make a Christian be about clothes.
Yeah.
Or about an appearance.
Yeah.
Or about a good deed. No, it's about the quality of someone's heart. And whether or not you're really being a Christian are the testimonies of using God's grace.
We went to the lumberyard the other day, me and one of the cowgirls that works here on the ranch. We went to the lumberyard, and you know, it was kind of hot. And I says, let's go to the lumberyard and then we'll get an ice cream cone. And because, you know, I always like to take everybody for an ice cream cone every week. You know, everybody gets to go to town for an ice cream cone during the day. You know, they get paid for it. They're getting paid to eat ice cream. You know?
Right.
They just think I'm the greatest boss in the world.
See, it's that Swan's truck.
That's right. I need to steal one so I'd have more to give. But so we're at the lumberyard, and we're in the lumberyard, and this guy, you know, he's talking about his building and, you know, and saying, you know, trying to get people to go. And he looks at me and he says, I know better than to talk about God with you. And I says, yeah, don't waste your time. And he says, you know, he says, it's a shame that, you know, that you're not a Christian. And it's just a shame that, you know, you're just, you know, and he literally says, it's a shame that you're burning in hell right now. You know, and he was just sure. And the cowgirl, she just looked at me and she looked at him, and this is what she said. She says, buddy, you have no idea. That's what she said. You know, she kind of like stood up, you like,
right,
like she's defending
right
me. You know, and here's this little 21-year-old cowgirl, you know, and I'm 6'2", and this guy's about 6 foot, and she just looks at him, and, you know, and she's got spurs on her boots, and she's all dirty from, you know, cleaning barns and working horses, and she just looks up at him and says, buddy, you have no clue. And we walked out the door, and she says, can you believe that guy? She says, do you believe the nerve of him, the way he judged you? And I says, well, what if he's right? She goes, well, he's not. And I says, how do you know that? She says, well, remember when my finger was broke, but my finger wasn't broke?
You know, right.
You know, and she goes, yeah. And I says, well, I says, but he can believe what he wants. She says, but he's wrong. And I says, yeah, but that's the love of God. You can be wrong. You can make bad choices. And she says, well, that's really sad. And I says, well, it is. And then she says, well, you know, I could see her wheels thinking, you know, and we're getting into the pickup truck and we're going to go get an ice cream cone. And she gets in the truck and she closes the door and she looks at me and she says, you know, she says, there's a lot of people that are wrong. And she says, and I don't think they know they're wrong. And I says, no. And then she goes, well, that's really messed up. And I says, It can be for them.
Yeah.
You know, and see, the thing was is that she was looking from the outside in.
Sure.
And she could see the ridiculousness of the situation. And then the last thing she said is we were eating ice cream and we're on our way back to the ranch, and I was telling her what I wanted her to do with the rest of her day, you know, laying out the work schedule for her. And she looks at me and she's got ice cream on her face and she says, you know, she says, you could really care less what he thinks. And I says, why would I?
Right. And that's another choice. a choice to participate with drama and involve yourself in something that
I could have turned it into an argument.
Well, sure you could have.
I could have come up with a reason to get mad, call him names. It could have ruined my whole day.
Right.
But she said, you know, you could care less. And I go, did he get in the way of us loading lumber? No. Did he get in the way of us buying ice cream cones? No. Is he even around us right now? She says, no. Do you think we'll ever see him again? And then she goes, I hope not.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then she says, no. And I says, well, then why would I put any energy into that?
Sure. I'm going to read you a story here. You'll like this. It's over in 2 Chronicles. And
2 Chronicles, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Chapter 16, verse 7 and through 9. You're going to like this. It's a story here, and Hananiah is the prophet that God asked to go to King Asa of Judah and give him a message. And King Asa has just made an alliance with another king to fight against nations that are coming against them.
Oh, that's
okay?
A good story.
So it says, just after that, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said, because you went for help to the king of Aram and didn't ask God for help, you've lost a victory over the army of the king of Aram. Didn't the Ethiopians and Libyans come against you with superior forces, completely outclassing you with their chariots and cavalry? But you asked God for help, and he gave you the victory. God is always on the alert. That's grace. Constantly on the lookout. That's grace. For people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. And then he goes on to say, now you're in trouble. One round of war after another. And verse 10 says, at that Asa lost his temper. Angry, he put Hananiah the seer, the prophet, in stocks. At the same time, Asa started abusing some of the people. And then it goes to talk about his death because everything went downhill. Well, Hananiah wasn't cursing him. Asa did it himself.
Yeah.
People would look at that incorrectly and think, you know, God just cursed the man. No, he didn't.
No, he
didn't. It was Asa's decision that put himself in a tailspin to do what? He turned himself toward man and turned himself away from God.
He literally created it. He literally created a bad day.
Yep.
He took a bad thought and he gave it power.
Yes, he did.
Because a lot of people in buildings that want to keep people in buildings and not let them realize that they should be in a church, is they would say, see, here's how Satan can really mess with you.
Oh, yeah.
This is why you need to pray more. This is why you need to come here more. This is why you need to be in Bible study. This is why you need your prayer group. This is why you need to call us on the phone. This is why you need to do this. Because they want to keep you feeling needy.
Yeah.
They want you to be weak.
Yes.
So that you get your strength from their organization. How messed up is that?
It's that. I want to give you the New King James Version of just verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Notice, grace doesn't rest.
No.
It is active 24/7. It never sleeps. It never slumbers.
Why would it?
It wouldn't. Because wherever someone will commit themselves to it, get out of the way, grace is moving. And the rest of the verse says, so that you can comment on it, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And think, I've always preached this way. If you went outside and said, hey, what kind of wind is blowing?
Right.
And you saw a flicker of a leaf, you'd say, well, there's a gentle breeze.
Right.
If you saw leaves really fluttering, you say, well, there's a pretty good breeze outside.
Yes.
If you saw tree limbs starting to bend, you'd say, well, the wind's getting stronger.
Yes.
If you saw trees starting to bend over and break, you'd say, there's gale forces out there.
You better
be careful.
Absolutely.
And then if you went on and said, well, trees are being lifted right out of the ground. It's a tornado. It's a hurricane.
Right.
Now, notice, the strength has to do with what it moves.
Right.
And if the Lord is showing himself strong on our behalf, what's he trying to do? Remove all kinds of nonsense out of your life.
The in my own opinion, and I don't know if this can be backed up with scripture or not, but I'm going to say probably not. But Jim, in my own opinion, everything about being a human being and walking around the face of the planet, I mean, today's date, it's like 9:30 on the 14th of August, 2012. Everything has an expiration date. Everything wears out. Everything can be changed, twisted, returned with a receipt, get a divorce, break up, get another job, unemployment. I mean, everything seems to have another backstop, a get-out-of-jail-free card,
yep,
for lack of a better explanation.
Right.
Well, since everything of this world people think is temporary or can be changed, I personally think that it's very hard for people to understand the true meaning of the word when they read in scripture or someone like you says that love, that God's love and grace has no limits. It has no boundaries. Because everything about this world and everything about everybody's life right now as they're listening to this broadcast on this Tuesday night, or as they listen to the 24/7 stream and still next Tuesday night, is all about boundaries and limits.
Yeah.
And I think that they try to impose what they believe to be tangible and true about there being boundaries and limits. And I think that just kind of flows over into grace. Because it's like the lady who didn't want you to take her cane, but yet she was listening to you speak. It's like someone that believes in God, they've been baptized, they've been saved, but yet they think they need a healing. They think they need to go somewhere. They think that they need to talk to you or me or somebody else, that they just are not qualified or strong enough to do it themselves.
Well,
and see, that's a limit. That's a boundary.
Yeah, can I add this thought to it? You know, leprosy.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, it is. And yeah, I'm going to use this to help make it make sense, too.
I don't have
too.
Leprosy.
No, you don't. That's good.
I just need to shave.
There you go. Leprosy has to do with losing feeling.
Yes.
Being numb.
Yeah.
In your body and losing a blood flow.
Yes.
Well, think of spiritual leprosy.
I like this.
It's numbness created by religion.
Doctrine.
Doctrine.
Buildings.
Buildings.
Yes.
To make you numb to spiritual things.
Yes.
Because what I really believe in people's lives is there's a spiritual leprosy in most people created by religion.
Yes.
That makes them numb, because I can't tell you how many times I've said something right to an individual and it literally goes right over their head. It's like they're deaf to the truth.
Right.
They're numb to spiritual power and anointing.
Yes.
And even to the extent where I've said something to an individual and they said, well, it was this lady in this one church, you know, and I ministered to her. And I said, now get up and walk. And she said, well, I need two new hips. I said, well, I just prayed. That's why you're walking now. Because you've got grace. You've got God's power. He's your sustenance. He's right. Sustaining you. But I need two new hips. I said, lady, look at me. I said, I don't care whether you have no hips at all. If you have grace, it does not matter. You'll walk perfect, as though you had two hips.
And what was her reaction?
Well, she didn't hear. Again, she's numb to it, right?
Yeah.
So I kept on talking to her, and then she came and sat down next to me. And I said, do you want me to be straightforward? She said, yes. And then she made the comment. She said, you know, I'm Jewish, and I'm from New York. Well, I'm from New York. And I looked at her, I said, are you kidding me? I said, you're acting like you're acting and you're Jewish and you're from New York. I said, Jews own everything. I said, so they don't know defeat by any means. They don't know what it's like to fail. And I said, a good New Yorker wouldn't give up for nothing. And I said, the real truth of the matter is, you've got no conviction at all about anything, do you?
How'd she respond to that?
She said, well, and I said, look it. I said, why in the world do you insist on trying to tell me what you need? She said, now before I go home, I have to have what I came here for. I said, why do you think you don't? I said, you're judging this completely wrong.
She was just holding on with tooth and nail.
Well, she was. And she was doing everything to contradict everything I was saying. Again, here's an interesting thought. And you can expound on this if you want. You know, our time is kind of, well, we won't really have time. But we've got plenty if we need it. But here's an interesting thought. Do you know, if I came to you because I had a, you know, we did have a horse.
Right.
And we did sell him just because we needed to at the time. We were needing some finances to go other places. And it was best, he was at an amazing place getting great help. And it was better just to sell him.
Right.
Okay. His name was Rocky, by the way. So if I had a problem with Rocky, I would come to you. Now here's what I wouldn't do. I wouldn't come to you and try to tell you everything I know about Rocky and interrupt you every time you're talking, because you're the horse guy. And when you're talking, I want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Now, isn't it interesting when it comes to religion or things of the spirit, everybody's a professional.
Well, not only
they'll interrupt you while you're talking, and here you're the one studying it, trying to help them, and they'll just tell you what they think. Well, this is what I think. Well, it's obvious what you think isn't working. Look at your problems.
It goes back to that spiritual diagnostic test. It goes back to spiritual responsibility that literally lays, for lack of a better word, the blame, the cause, the negative energy, the reason that things are not going smoothly, right smack, like cold water in the face of that individual. Because I ask them this. I say, do you believe that negative energy, hell, the devil, Beelzebub, predicted, you believe it has no power? It's been defeated. Yes, God defeated Satan. Okay, great. All your sins are forgiven.
Right.
Yes, they are. Do you believe in Scripture where it says, ask and you shall receive? And they say, yes, I do. Do you believe that the sacrifice of Jesus, all his blood, paid and washed away your sins? Yes, I do. And you've been saved and you believe in God? Yes. And then I say, okay. And God's love is endless and boundless, and God can do anything and everything? Yes. And God's love is grace? Yes. And the Holy Spirit is willing to do whatever it takes to fulfill God's message of love for you. Yes, they love all this. And I say, okay, now you've just agreed to all this. So if you hurt, if you have issues in your life, if you're unhappy, if when no one's around, and whether you're in a bathtub at a red light or you're laying in bed and you have this tiny little ache, or like you have this hunger, like there has to be something more to your life, that this just can't be all there is, well then, who's to blame for that? Who's in the way? What needs to be changed? Because if you just agreed to this laundry list of questions I just asked you, and you said yes to them all, well, then that means that the problem has to be your lifestyle, your philosophy.
Their choices.
Your choice on how you choose to act and behave and live your life with a certain perspective and attitude. And they get real quiet. And you can see in their eyes that their wheels are turning. And sometimes they get kind of teary-eyed and they say, thank you very much. This is what I needed. And you can just see grace is just starting to cover them like chocolate on ice cream.
Right.
And then some get very defensive and they get very upset. And then they'll say things like, well, you don't know what it's like to walk in my shoes.
Right.
And I say, I don't want to walk in your shoes, because obviously your shoes are stinky and uncomfortable from what you're telling me. You know, but see, that's where it comes down to each individual's person to either stick to their guns out of pride and vanity or fear or doubt, or that they're giving more respect and tangibility to a doctrine or religion or building or a family tradition. Whatever the reason is, they're not receptive.
Right.
And if they're not receptive, they're not receptive.
That's correct. Yep.
And the really shame about this is that sometimes that person with that mindset can affect a friend, family, neighbor, or coworker to actually slow down their own progress with grace and God.
Right.
They literally almost guilt them into slowing down a relationship with grace. Because if they can get this loved one or family member or friend or whoever to slow down their progress, well, then that gives legitimacy to that person's no progress at all. It'd be like me saying, well, I'm in a wheelchair, I'm a paraplegic, I can't walk and I can't run, so you need to walk slow and don't run because I can only wheel this chair so fast. And if I can't get there in my wheelchair, I don't want you to go. Well, what is that doing? It's literally confining and putting rules on the person that can walk, run, climb, and jump. That's not fair.
No.
It doesn't make sense. So then people need to do this diagnostic, because sometimes the only reason they don't have grace, the only reason that there are problems in their life, is that they're making what they think is a loving choice to be loving and cooperative, and they're afraid of leaving someone behind.
Right, right.
And is there scripture? Or,
well, yeah.
Can you help me out? I mean, well, am I on the wrong track?
No,
here,
I mean, or? While you're talking, of course, my mind is just thinking, and I'm not even going to turn there. I'll just, for the sake of time, just talk about it. But there's a you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the synoptic gospels. You'll find different writers talking about the same story. And Jesus, in one of his stories, talked about the seed being the word of God, and talked about soil being the condition of a person's heart. It's very interesting there that he shows that there's three different types of soil that, for one reason or another, didn't receive something.
Right.
And really, that right there is a spiritual diagnostic from the Lord. Showing that people...
You're right.
People were hardened in their heart, and the seed never even went into the ground. And because of it, immediately the devil or Satan came along and stole that seed. He took those things because people didn't do anything at all with it. And then you've got ground that was all rocky, and the seed went into it and sprang up immediately. And it says the reason why it sprang up is people received it with joy. Which, if joy had something to do with the seed springing up, that should tell you something. If your life is not full of joy, that means you're covering yourself up with the world and drama that's taking your joy away, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah 8:10, is your strength. And if the joy of the Lord is your strength, if people receive the word with joy, notice what happened. Strength came to them, and bam, instant manifestations.
Right.
But it says there was no depth in them. They didn't figure it out. They were just coming for a free ride but didn't want Christ. And when the sun came up, or in other words, pressure came against what they received, they folded like a one-egg pie. They didn't have any strength, any endurance. The third soil, the seed was sown among tares, which is just weeds that kind of look like wheat. And they both grew up together. But the tares did what? It choked out the seed. And it says it's because of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. Now, Jesus just did a spiritual diagnostic.
Right.
And the things of life that are covering you up are the reason why we're saying what we're saying tonight, so that people begin to make quality choices and begin to consider the
yes.
spiritual world, their own spirit, the Holy Spirit, the grace of Christ, and that there are two trains on two different tracks. Stop putting wood into the world. Put wood into the fire of the train of your spirit, and grace will begin to multiply in your life.
Somebody's going to chuck wood. It's either going to be you or Grace.
That's right.
Let Grace do it. Before we go any farther, I know you didn't want to read this, but if someone wants to read this, or they want to, where is this where it talks about the seeds in the soil?
It's Mark and chapter 4, and I'm going to turn there right now, and it starts out in verse 1, and it finishes all the way down to verse 25.
So it's Mark 1 and it goes all the way to 25.
Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 25.
Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 25.
Yeah. And it's a great passage where Jesus actually does a diagnostic for the disciples so that they can see that there are reasons why people are not receiving things.
I've always told you that I've thought that Luke, Mark, Matthew, and John were like just four stenographers standing on four corners of an intersection.
They were.
So then that means that this Mark chapter 4, 1 through 25, there can be something similar.
I think it's Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to go to that right now.
I think this is a real good teaching tool, Jim. I think what we need to do is I think it would be good if people could open up their books and they could read all four of these perspectives, don't you?
Yeah, it's not mentioned in John, so let me go here and find it in...
Okay, we got Mark
chapter 4,
1 to 25. Okay, is it in Luke? Or where are you now?
Yeah, it actually is in Luke. Let me find it in Luke. And that's where it may be, Luke chapter 8.
Do you think it's in Matthew?
Yes, it is.
Because we'll just list these. While Jim is looking these up, I want to take the time again, because we're always getting new listeners. I know it's kind of surprised that it's a Tuesday night and we're doing the show live. We're switching this to Tuesday nights from 8 until when we're done. It's still going to stream 24/7. And I want to take this opportunity to tell you about something that Jim is a big proponent of, and I'm real excited. There's a real nice lady by the name of Shelley Love. That's right. Her last name is Love, L-O-V-E. She's been doing a real nice Christian ministry for kids, for teenagers, for like 12 to 14 years now. And I thought that I just felt the need to build her a show. And every once in a while we get emails from kids and they say that they understand the message, but sometimes the words are just a little different than what they're talking to their friends on the schoolyard or at their part-time jobs. And so I'm building a children's show, and Shelley Love is going to host it. It's going to be her show. And so we are going to have something that is similar to the Abiding Presence for teenagers and kids.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Shelley will do a wonderful job.
I think she will, and this is the first you've heard of it because, I just started doing this about 4 days ago.
Right.
And if you're wondering, we will be announcing this on the show, and when it starts to happen, we'll be referring. She's going to have a website. There's going to be videos for the kids. It's going to stream 24/7, just like Jim's show does now. And so it's going to take place in the latter part of September.
September, right.
Which is about 4 or 5 weeks away from now. And I just want to take this opportunity to mention that.
And if people want to know, because they can actually on my website find a link.
On the Abiding Presence or on the Jim Huckaday website?
Well, they'll find it on the Abiding Presence. There'll be a link for them that'll help them to find her show.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering about it and you're saying, well, I'd really love my kids to get involved, then just keep an eye open on the Abiding Presence.
Matter of fact, Shelley was on last week's show.
Yeah, she was on the show.
That's who it was,
just temporarily. Okay, I've got the other scripture.
We've got Mark 4, 1:25. What's the next one?
It's Matthew 13, 18 to 23.
Okay.
And Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15.
Okay. Now, I'm going to repeat these really slow. as this is another homework assignment.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Let's call this another homework assignment for you out there, because this is the type of philosophy we want. If you don't have a Bible, buy one. Steal one. Buy one. Yes, I did say steal a Bible. But this isn't the type of place that you go to and it's on a screen. We want you to have a Bible so that you can read the inspirations and understand what Jim is talking about and try to figure out what in the world I was referring to. You need all the help you can get for that one. Okay, here's your homework assignment. Book of Mark, you want to go to Mark chapter 4, right, and then verses 1 through 25. And then your other homework assignment is the book of Luke. You want to go to chapter 8, and you want to go to verse 4 and 15. And then you want to go to Matthew, the book of Matthew. You want to go to chapter 13, and it's verses 18 to 23. Now, we've said that enough, but if for some reason that wasn't long enough for you to get that, don't panic. If you're racing to get a piece of paper and a pen to write those down, the very last thing that we'll do on the show tonight is I'll mention those three books, the chapters and the verses, so that if you want to jump up now and get something to write with and a pen, you can do that. Jim, how do you feel about giving some people some inspirational words about now?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Well, thank God for our time tonight, for being able to discuss some things that will really open your eyes. Paul prayed for the church that their eyes would be open, the eyes of their understanding, which is the eyes of their soul, their heart. You're a spirit being, and everything about you being a spirit being is made in the image and the likeness of God. Everything about what Christ has done for us, it fits like a hand in the glove to your spirit. There's nothing that you'll have to do out of your spirit that will produce effort to walk in every benefit and blessing that Christ has given us. So the effort of life is just turning your back from that which would in any way hinder you or cloak you or keep you from being able to see how wonderful it is that Jesus has provided an absolute life that is eternal, grace that is abundant and sufficient for you to experience everything in life that your heart desires. It's not of this world. It's of Christ. It's of God. It's of the Holy Spirit. And it's by the grace of Jesus Christ. So I pray right now for every person listening that you would accept the grace of Jesus Christ into your life, and that your eyes would be opened. Listening to this broadcast, you'll begin to see with clarity grace everywhere. It'll show you things that you'll not begin to believe that you've actually participated in. Things that are of this world, and you'll immediately want to turn away from it. And yet it'll show you the most wonderful blessings that God has available for you. You'll begin to see in such small little things the ability to make great choices. That's what grace wants to do for you. For it's by your choice, your energy, your participation, that the grace of God has opportunity to cause every good thing in Christ, not only to be yours, but to be experienced in this lifetime. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hopefully...
It was the music that did it.
It was the music. No, I don't think so. I think that's the grace working in little Jimmy Hockaday. Okay, you've had a chance to maybe grab something to write with and a pen and paper. And if you don't panic, because the show streams 24 hours, 7 days a week. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1 through 25. That's the book of Mark, chapter 4. 1 through 25. Okay. Then the next one is the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. That's the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. And then the next one is Matthew, the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 13. Chapter 13 in Matthew, and it's verses 18 through 23. That's the book of Matthew 13, 18, 23. And I think that this evening, Jim, I think we've, are you pretty?
Yeah.
Are you pretty content with the message tonight?
Yeah, I think it's one that we can come back to over and over again. I don't think it ever gets old.
No, and I think it's real interesting that we had three emails from three people that live so far away from each other that we could all cover with tonight's message. I like that.
Very good.
Folks, as you can tell by the music, we're going to be closing up the show. It'll take me about 10 to 25 minutes to get this uploaded on the internet. So just around 10:30 on this Tuesday night, hopefully it will be uploaded. And remember, I said Tuesday. We're doing the shows now from Tuesday until 8, until whenever. We've got just about a two-hour show for your enjoyment. I want to say hello and thank you to all the people that listen during the week. And I want you to take care of yourselves and take care of your family and your pets. I'd like to ask a favor. If you would spread the word about the show, Jim and I would be grateful. And we will see you here next Tuesday night. And remember that Shelley Love is going to have a show coming up for the kids.
Right.
And it'll be on the same philosophy as Jim's show. So I think it's time to say goodnight. So
good night, everyone.
Good night from the ranch to home place. The Jim Huckaday Show, The Abiding Presence, wishes you well.